Hello, very quickly I would like to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries, like, comment, and share the videos.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
All right, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The last time that I was with you, we were seeing on our subject on steps or forms, and I detest using that word, and I apologize if I use that about steps, but you understand what I mean, on how to use the faith of Jesus in us more effectively. That's what I was talking about. The first thing that I told you, and I said it, as I said, as a step so you can understand it better. But once you practice it, you see it all as one. So as to say, the first step or the first thing that I told you, if you remember, is you have to receive a revelation of the grace of God. Or the unconditional love of God. And it seems easy, but millions and millions and millions of people that are born again and Christians struggle with this first step. And the only reason why they struggle is there's only one, is we come from religion. And I don't want to offend anyone or center in calling out names. All I'm going to say is many of us come from one religion and enter into another. So we receive Jesus, but we go from one religion to the other. How many of you understand? You understand, that's to not waste time calling out names or something like that. It's difficult because all religion is, what do I have to do? That's how we think it in religion. What do I have to do to receive the blessings of God? And that's religion. Or what does God require of me? That's religion. You see, some of you still struggle, and it's fine. And that's why that's the first step. If you don't have a revelation, you'll struggle. The second that I told you is you have to believe that you receive the promises that the grace of God provided, the sacrifice of Jesus provided. Next step is entering into the rest of God, and I could spend more time on that and explaining more on the rest. You have to enter into the rest of God. Or you have to flow in it and understand the rest of God. And the last is this. You're going to have to, for the rest of your life, while you are in this fleshly body, you'll have to renew your mind with the Word of God. You have to renew your mind with the Word of God, I said. And none of us can say, yeah, I know everything now. I don't need to change my way of thinking, or I have all the revelation or all the understanding. If you hear someone say that, they're lying. While we are in this body, we'll have to constantly be renewing our mind, because this part is what is not born again. The spirit of man is perfect, but not your mind. In your mind is where, or in your soul is where your mind, your will, and emotions are. Your intellect, and that is where you are constantly going to struggle. Constantly struggling with doubt, fear, unbelief. And we'll see other things here, which the Bible will mention. As we read, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed. The word transform is where we obtain the word, the Greek word, metamorphosis. That word metamorphosis, one of the definitions is this: process by which a new being is developed. Oh, thank you. We have it right there. I hadn't remembered that. So from the Greek, metamorpho, but it's where we obtain the word. So much in English as in Spanish, metamorphosis, or in Spanish in this case. And it means to transform or to change to another form. And that's the better definition, a process by which a new being is developed. That's what that word literally means. Now, the question that might surge is this. How do I develop a new being if I've been born again? If I've been born again, well, how can I develop or how can that new being be developed? Well, if you understand that you've been born again, then that new being is talking about here in your soul. We're not talking about two people. We're not talking about one spiritual person and then another person in your mind as if you were bipolar or something. What I'm saying is that this man, born again, well, I'll show you in the Bible so you can understand it better. Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 10. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man. Now, let's read a little bit on the past verses. 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now here, what is the old man? Spirit of the man. Spirit man. So having been born again, or another way of understanding it, more practical way. Now in 10, having put on that new man who is renewed in knowledge, and putting on that new man, as in the new man, you are dressed in that new man, which is here in your spirit, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, and notice this in 10, renewed according to the image of him who created him. Talking about the soul right there. Again, who can share a pen with me, one of those with a cap? Does anyone have one? Yes, you did. Okay, thank you. Or thank you. Okay, now using this pen as an example, would have been red or blue if would have been better, so it could be seen a bit more. So let me borrow the red one. Thank you. Okay, for example, if you notice here, let's say that this part here is the spirit. This part is the spirit. And here where the cap is the soul, which is the part that has not been renewed. And here, with the word of God, this is what you have to renew or change your way of thinking. This part right here. But when someone dies, speaking about someone in Christ, well, don't think that the soul just stays here on earth and the spirit is the one that goes to heaven. No, both spirit and the soul go to heaven. The only thing that stays here is this fleshly body. Do you understand that part? This is very important to understand. Very important. It's very important to understand this. This is the part that stays here. So the spirit is perfect. Amen? The soul is where the problems are. And here is where everything is born. All the bad is born. This is where in the soul is where deceit, discouragement, where everything that goes contrary to the word of God is. You understand that? Thank you. Thank you. Notice this. Let's go back to Romans 12, and then we'll stay in Colossians again. Now, going back to Romans 12, help me with Romans 12, Help me with the New Living Translation. Romans 12:2. Notice this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Why is it that when the Bible tells us something, we are so stubborn, Christians are so stubborn to imitate and walk and speak the way that the world speaks? The reason why the world speaks the way that they do is because it's what's in their heart. Now again, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Again, where does God transform you into? In your mind, here, in your soul. If you're born again, your spirit has already been transformed or renewed in Christ. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So how does God change our way of thinking? With the Word. With the Word. With the Word. Amen. With the Word of God. Not with ideas of man. Not with, well, I think that. Or I believe that. Yeah, there are moments to say I believe and I think. If we're talking about the natural things. If you tell me, well, Brother Hughes, I think that Chevrolet is better than Ford. Another will say, well, I think Ford is better than Chevrolet. Or that Chevrolet is better than Dodge. Well, right there, yeah, anyone can have their own opinion. But when it's based on the things of the Word of God, no. Again, where we were at. Thank you. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Again, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And this is something that we'll be constantly be doing. Now help me with the New International Version. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. That word, conform, I think, well, in English it is conform. And it's sometimes using conform does not mean the word that we think. The better way of understanding is, how many of you have used clay before or played with clay or with mud when we were children? So remember, if you were to put your hand in that clay, press your hand into it and then you'd remove it, that mold would stay. That's what molding means. That's the same example. That molding here in your mind, you have to change it. Now back to Colossians 3, where we were at. We're going to start reading from verse 5. And many of us are going to say ouch when we reach a certain verse, okay? Instead of saying amen, say ouch. Wait, not yet. Hold on, you're getting ahead of yourselves. Not yet. Hold on. Don't flow in condemnation, flow in the Word. Okay. Well, let's read from verse 1 better. This is very tremendous. This is what the New Testament is based on. If we were to resume the New Testament, that revelation is based on the unconditional love of God. God loves you unconditionally. It's based on understanding the finished works of Christ Jesus and renewing your mind. And this is why so many people cannot see it. Because when they read the New Testament, they have an idea of judgment and God is mad with us and the anger of God. That's the idea that they have because they haven't renewed their mind with the New Testament or the New Covenant. If you renew your mind, again, none of us are going to reach the point of saying we know everything. But yes, there is a process. There are many of us who will perhaps be in another level than from many years ago. And that's how it should be. If you reach that point, when you read even the Old Testament, you're going to see it with another different perspective. Amen. Now, Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, notice this. If then you were raised with Christ, another way of saying it, if you were truly born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek, as that constant seeking is because you were truly born again, and that faith of Jesus in you will motivate you, will push you, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, this verse is a way of saying, seek the things of God. Now, verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What did we just read? Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be molded to the way of thinking of the inhabitants of this earth. For you died. Oh. For you died. But Brother Hughes, no, I'm alive right now. Well, no, it's talking about that old man of the spirit. You are born again in your spirit. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Notice again a very important point. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Notice how in verse 2 it says, set your minds on things above. You see that expression? Set your mind on things above. It's a little difficult in the Greek, but that expression means exercise your mind, the things of God. Set your mind on the things above, or exercise your thoughts on the things of above. Exercise your mind in the things of God, not on the earthly things, not on the things on the earth. Now, who is this, the Holy Spirit of God speaking through Paul to? To who? To the brothers who were in the church of Colossians. Notice how they were brothers and sisters in Christ. This Bible was not written to the world. So why do believers or Christians, or why do Christians and not the believers, there's a difference. Why do Christians insist on feeding themselves of so much trash that the world offers? It's spiritual trash. I don't want to sound, oh my, help me. See, I avoid to say names, but I don't want to sound like I'm just casting judgment on someone. But the youth of today, especially girls, follow this one lady who does concerts around the world. And there are people who, in their way of thinking, in the lyrics of their songs, God has nothing to do with it. And then, I'm talking about teenage girls or teenage boys now, and the parents don't even realize it. And if the parents do see it, they always use this expression. Always. And this is because they have just a condemnation, a sin conscience. They always say, well, what's so wrong with that? All the time, it's always, what's so wrong with it? All the time, they're always thinking, oh, is that sin, brother? Is that sin? They're always thinking if it's sin or not. Simply, it's something that does not edify you. And it goes contrary to what God tells you. I'll read again. For you died in verse 3, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. As to say, when we go to heaven, or at the second coming of the Lord. Verse 5, here comes. Therefore, put to death your members. You know what the Greek says? It literally means mortify your body. Mortify it. Instead of you being mortified in your mind, you mortify your body. Let's see. Help me with the King James Version, the original. There we go. Mortify, therefore, your members. Mortify them. Yeah, make it to where your flesh suffers. To where, oh, it's so hot, man. I really want one of those fine reds with ice and foam. And I'm talking about a redhead. You know which red I'm talking about. You say no. Amen. And others who have stopped drinking, of course. But man, I want two cheeseburgers where the cheese is melty and runny. Mortify your body. But it goes more than that. Look, right here. We can have a good time, but look at what it says here. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Again, what is earthly of the world in you. Now, where is, and pay attention, where is the earthly in us? Where? Spirit, soul, and body. Where is it? In the soul. In the soul, remember, this body will only execute what the Spirit says. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Spirit man. What the Spirit man says, or what the soul or mind or the carnal mind says. Amen. You start putting thoughts. Remember, there is no man. No man. If they tell you this, they're lying to you. That suddenly, one day they open their eyes and, what am I doing here with... And then they untuck themselves. They look under the sheets and they realize they're naked. And with two women right next to each other. Oh, what am I doing here? How did I wake up like this? How did I reach this point? I can assure you, he didn't just suddenly appear there. No, it was days, weeks, or months that he was thinking up until reaching that point. It's here. In verse 8. Verse 5. Fornication. What is fornication? Having sexual relations without being married. That's what the word porno or porneia comes from. Porn. Fornication. Uncleanness. Then passion, adds emotions that you cannot control. And last time I spoke on emotions, and I want to repeat it one more time with a clear understanding. Okay? With a clear understanding. Every single one of us, and help me again. Help me with the image of spirit, soul, and body. Quickly, please. Spirit, soul, and body. Every single one of us has a spirit, and we possess a soul. We can't avoid it while we're on this planet. We live here. And inside of that soul, we have mind, soul, and emotions. So we have emotions. Now, the problem is when you let yourself be dominated by those emotions. And when those emotions contradict the Word of God. Amen. I'll read again. Passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And again, I'm not going to focus on this. I'm not going to be talking about this right now. But this is the reason why many Christians struggle to give in the kingdom of God, because that's what covetousness is. And the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. So in other words, but Brother Hughes, you've told us that giving is not an obligation. Of course, to those people, you can't obligate them to give, I don't know, by perhaps scaring them or telling them that you're going to stay if the rapture comes. Or cursed are you with cursing, I don't know. Because you're going to contradict the scriptures, which say that God loves the joyful giver. He who gives joyfully, he who gives generously and in thanksgiving. But I'm explaining the reason as to why millions of Christians in the body of Christ, when you speak on giving, they suffer. Because they don't believe. They don't trust. God loves them, but they don't trust in God. I make myself understood. There's nothing you can do. I know Christians who, as that one song says, the years have passed and they continue the same, just stubborn, or worse. They're not going to change. Because going back to the same point, they haven't received the revelation of how much God loves them and God wants to take care of them, but they haven't received, they haven't believed the promises of God. That doesn't imply that God doesn't love them. They don't love God the sufficiently, and they don't see God as their provider. Amen. We can see it right here. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Attention here. Some of you, I already know you. You're thinking, oh, it's right there. Right there. This is not talking about the children of disobedience to the children of God. Who is this referring to? Now let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 2 verse 2. It was you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of Satan here, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, again, in which you walked in a different time. Remember in Colossians 3:6, going back, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So the world is not in, does not have a covenant with God. So the world acts in the earthly. The world walks in fornication, in impurity, in passions. I'm reading verse 5 now. In evil desires and covetousness. So the Apostle Paul is saying, telling the brothers in Colossians, saying, brothers and sisters, you have been born again. So the brothers in Colossians would say, I'm paraphrasing here, of course. But Paul, I know, but we do believe you that we've been born again, but why is it that I still want to go with my neighbor? Why is it that I still want to do things? Why is it that I still act as if I were from the world? So this is where Paul explains. The issue is, if you've truly been born again and you act that way, it's because you haven't taken the time to renew your way of thinking. And also it comes that you have to use your authority in Christ to submit your flesh. And saying, no, in the name of Jesus, I will not do this. By the grace of God, I will not fall in that. I will not walk in this. Glory to God. For example, what verse 5 says. Now, verse 7. Oh, verse 6, by which things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. I want to tell you something, that it's sad how people apply things incorrectly. But I've been in churches, and the only reason is because I've been invited to preach there. But I sometimes feel so uncomfortable that I have to be very careful that I'm not contradicting the pastor of that church or of said church where I've been to. But one time, this pastor was in their church, and he was using this verse, and he was saying, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience, and he was saying, and they're children of God, but they're disobedient. I understand that they're disobedient children, but this context is not speaking on that. It's talking about literally people of the world. Look at verse 7. Again, it says again, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Does it sound like what was written in Ephesians? Yes. And right there is where we have to let that faith of Jesus and our new being now take control in this. Look, it's coming up here. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Comes. Anger. Wrath. You're all very quiet. Why did I tell you that you had to say ouch? Ouch. How many of us are guilty of this? There you go. Thank you for those. For the honest ones, for the truly ones, and for those, remember, that the Bible says that the liars will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see?
Ira, enojo,
anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Again, cursing is very common. Up until even the song of the world, they curse. In Spanish and in English. And people have that music blasting in their cars. And they have it so loud, as if the rest of the world wants to listen to what they're listening to. So society thinks that it's very normal to just be cursing. And the reason why Apostle Paul said this is not because God is mad or God is mad with them because they said this or God is going to stop loving them. Notice how he's speaking to believers. Why? Because all this will do and cause is, remember, God is here. God continues loving you. The issue is that you and I are going to stop seeing God of that way. Amen. We're going to stop perceiving and seeing God. Apart from that, we're going to give a lot of place to the devil. And remember, from here, after this, eventually, with these subjects, it'll take us to false grace. Today, but it will lead up to it. Now, where am I? Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, now filthy language out of our mouth. Look at verse 8 in the English version, in King James Version. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. That's what I was going to say. It's filthy communications, where it says in Spanish, dishonest words. So what is this talking about? Double meaning words? Morbidity? Dirty jokes? Again, I have nothing against people. Okay? I just want to clarify. Glory to God. Everyone is a candidate to receive the salvation of Jesus. Amen? But I don't think that it'll be very correct according to the scriptures. It's very correct if you're a Christian and listening to Polo Polo. And there are Christians in that. The Hughes, I like the other sessions. Where you said that God loves us independently of our works. Yeah, God continues loving you in a border and listening to all those things. God will not change what he thinks of you, because remember, God the Father does not see us. Do you think he'll see us in our errors? He doesn't. Forget about how when God sees you, he doesn't see you in this flesh. Imagine when we just first wake up with our hairs all over the place. I'm talking about if we even have hair. Some Christians don't shower in 3 days. forget it. Wintertime comes, and once December is here, the shower will see them up until March. So imagine if God saw us how we are in our flesh, in our body. Forget about it. What happens is, thank the Lord, He sees us through Christ. Please understand this. You see, religion and I are always fighting because religion has told me for years, no, don't say this, Brother Hughes, because Christians are going to disobey. The Christians are going to be more innocent, and I see it all the contrary. No, it's if you understand that on the contrary. This, what Paul said, why do you think Paul was saying all of this? Why do you think Paul was saying, leave it, it's not for you. Focus on who you are in Christ. Because they've told me, when Christians hear you, they're going to go to the world. Then they were truly never born again. That's it. They were never born again. Boom. Thank you. Fire and atomic bomb. Just a big blast. Boom. Just big. Because they were never born again. Now, notice Acts 17. Father, please give them a revelation, but a grand revelation of this verse. Because, forgive me, it's the light. Holy. Okay, hold on. Give them a revelation, Lord, please. Please. For Jesus, for what He did, for what He is. Amen. I'll tell you like this, because there are people who will say, Father, help me, look at everything that I've done for you. Look at how good that I behaved. Look at this, and then help my grandma. Look at how much she served you. And I mean, that's why we don't see things. Because we start putting ourselves in the equation. Remove you and your grandma and your chicken and remove everything. Father, please, a good prayer. Father, please, I ask you, help me by Jesus. By what Jesus did.
Gracias. Amen.
Thank you.
Nota, Hechos 17.
No, notice Acts 17:28. Look. I already called the revelation on this. For in Him, who is Him? The Lord Jesus. Jesus. For in Him, in Jesus, we live. Notice how it's not in you, not in me. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. My faith, my righteousness is in Christ. Not in me. Not in my clothing, not in my way of dressing. So why do you put a tie on Tuesday? Because I want to. Because I want to, and it has nothing to do with religion. I could have come in a shirt, in tennis, and a cap, and I would have flowed the same. But it's something that I like. You see, notice how easily that my mic is here? It's another benefit. Now notice, for in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him I have all my being. Understand now. So going back to Colossians. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Notice how Paul, again, I'll read what Paul didn't say. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, so that God can bless you. That's how people read it. That's how they read it. Well, brother, well, God requires that we stop doing this so God can bless us. No. No. God requires that you stop doing these things because it's not your nature. Because you give place to the devil. Because your heart will harden. I'll give you some advice, and from here on forward, you will see more glory in your life. Amen. Oh, glory, the neighbors look so fine. No, more the glory of God. When you come to church, forget about religion of God will put a little star on, like they put on those kids when they behave correctly in kindergarten, and then he'll grab you and give you a big smooch because you behaved very good. And then how do you call him Nubia? A check mark. Like this. He's not going to put a check mark like this. A little check mark. So if you understand why we have three services a week, and you understand that it's only so you can renew your mind, of course there are other purposes, praising God together, but this is what it's all about. If you stop seeing this as something religious, serving God, etc., serving the brothers and sisters in Christ, if you stop seeing it as a religious service, as, well, I came on Tuesday, I'll skip out on Thursday because it's too much church. They'll probably see me on Sunday if it's not a festive day. And many see it that way. They always have this idea. Forgive me. It's sweet lips. They always have this religious idea. I was going to say this stupid idea, but what? Well, I already said it. This idea that, well, I did my part. I did my part. Yeah. I did my part with God. I did it. That the people of Israel had to do their part with the things of God. You and I do them out of thankfulness, out of love. And there are benefits, of course. You are one of the benefits if you receive the word, of course. Notice in verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice, do not lie. Again, you already left that old man of the spirit man, which was dead, but now Christ lives in you. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him. You let the life which is in here in the spirit, which is in Jesus, in us, and the Word, starts taking control here of your thoughts. But again, tell this to a carnal person, a carnal Christian. They walk as if they were of the world, and you tell them this. You don't have to get mad because of this. And yeah, we can have a righteous anger against perverse things that's going on in the world. But I'm not going to enter into that subject. We'll look at kingdom and government for this. But you don't have to get mad with people. And we could say, yes, but this makes me get mad and this angers me. And it's true. And man, how many times have I been guilty of that as well? But it tells me here that it shouldn't. I like when I say, because I can see the look on some of you, like, yeah, that's right. No, not you. You're very pure. You've never committed a mistake. My God. Now, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and holied, put on tender mercies, here you have to dress, here in your mind, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Notice why this is telling you this? Not telling you, oh, well, Brother Hughes, I can't forgive because of what this person did to me or what this other person did. And they'll give you reasons. Because, well, here it's telling you that the only way you can do it is if you start changing your way of thinking, in other words. You start seeing who you are in Christ. That's it. Religion makes it very difficult. The Lord makes it easier. How many of you understand that? There's so much that I'd love to explain today. For example, glory to God. You see the hate that there is in the nation, election time. You can disagree with this politician or this other person, but the hate, and I'm talking about both candidates on both sides, calling each other names and disgusting nicknames. And but both candidates, both. I'm not talking about politics right now, but both of them. Promoting things. Hate? Hey, no, if you disagree, yeah, there are some things that are just terrible, but attack the politics of your opponent, not the person. But what about between brothers and sisters? Well, between us, we can say, you know what, sister, brother, I believe this is wrong without getting mad. You can say, this is wrong because of what the Bible says here and here and this and that. Oh, very terrible. In Hebrews 5, and you know, one of the things that you'll crash with a lot, one of those who are quick to get angry are the children in Christ. Children in Christ. Hebrews 5, verse 11 to verse 14.
Acerca de esto tenemos mucho que decir.
Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, and here it's not talking about the ministry of teachers, this is more so of we are being capable of teaching or giving advice to others with the Word of God. Need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. That food is talking about the Word of God. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Well, what is that spiritual milk? Well, there are many places where they are given spiritual milk. That's just a small little sermon here, a small teaching kind, and better know what I gave you tonight is meat with the word. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Now, this word, who are of full age, is not talking about, look at what it's not talking about, of, well, I know everything, I don't need to continue maturing. No, it's not talking about that, as I explained earlier, but it's talking about when you have a certain level of maturity. But we continue maturing, of course. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use, again, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That word, those senses, is that mental capacity to distinguish something. Again, to use their senses. Those who by reason, the reason of maturity, gives you, that is given by the word, having sense exercised to discern both good and evil, can discern both things. For example, my pastor, who was in heaven, you know who I'm referring to, Many years ago, he had a service on Wednesday. And he had a service on Wednesday morning and another in the afternoon. The reason why is for those who could not go Wednesday afternoon due to work, he made a service for those in the morning. Well, one time I was there. Notice what he says here. Okay, I'll give an example again that has to do with this. Verse 14. For by reason they have their senses exercised. And as I said in the Greek, that they have the ability to discern. They have the mental capacity. Before giving you that example, the New Living Translation. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Now, through training and skill, it's talking about when you make suffer, mortify the flesh, and you subject your flesh, and you practice the word the best you can. Now, giving you this example. Now, many years ago, I was on Wednesday morning, before the service started. And he asked me, "Well, you're going to be here?" And I said, "Yes, all Wednesday I'll be here." So he said, "Well, what do you say at the end of the service? We either go eat or Belen can prepare lunch." And he himself said, "Well, I don't think Belen would like to cook on Wednesday or on Sunday. So I think it's best if we go out to eat." And I said, "Well, that's fine, Pastor. I'll go with you." So when the service was over, I was with him and with those who attended. Let's say that perhaps all of them or the majority knew me, and they came, greeted me and my pastor as well, who was next to me. So using that example, where my wife is seated, let's say that my pastor was there, the distance where my wife is seated, and suddenly a sister that I did not know, she said, "Pastor, remember that I spoke with you about? Well, I still have some doubts." So let's say that I was here where this pulpit is and my pastor next to me. So when I saw that, I said, "Well, Pastor, I'll wait for you outside." And he told me, no, "Oh, wait for me right there on the seat. Just wait for me right there." He just said like that. So I sat down where, give or take, where Nuvia is at. Well, I could capture part of what they were talking about. And the sister said, "Well, I still don't know, Pastor." And from what I could see, they were speaking before, and she made a question. And then my pastor answered. He said, "Sister," he said like this, "I already told you. You have the Holy Spirit. It does not bother me that you continue coming here, the midweek service. But I can tell you like this. Where you go on Sunday, that is your church. Where you go on Sunday, it's because that's your church. I can give you a hint like that. But at the end, the Lord will guide you." Well, remember, I didn't know what this was about. So Mama Belen said, I'll come here in the back. They had a Ford Escape, a red Ford Escape. So she said, I'll go here in the back so you can go up front with Pastor. So when we were headed out, we were on the road, and he told me, "Oh, this sister is struggling." He told me like this. She struggles because someone from here invited her and she started coming on Wednesdays, but she's confused by what I speak, and then she goes to another church. But she says that if she could come to both of them. So do you realize this sister was not mature? She couldn't discern. So we spoke about this years ago, and I said, it doesn't bother me that you come. You just talk with your pastor. Be honest. But it's best if you be under your pastor, because you'll understand better. The Lord will speak to you through him, etc. It's much more correct, my pastor speaking to her. But the sister continued coming here. And they had already spoke about this some Wednesdays ago. But as my pastor said, I'm not going to kick her out, of course. But it's not correct. You come here, then you go over here, you support poor things, and you're going to end up staying wrong with one. That's a principle that the Lord uses. So, what do I do? So that's when I said, oh, so now I understand where you go on Sunday, that's because that's your church. So as my pastor said, I'm already giving you a hint, sister. And hear better from God. So there are people like that because that's how it's used nowadays. They don't know how to discern. They want to stay with one person and the other, and they don't hear from God. At the end of the day, you have to hear from God and not take decisions. And about this sister and about any other example, in the flesh, out of desperation, out of anger, because they said this, because this bothered you. And there are many Christians who take decisions like this in their churches. Well, I'm going to leave here. And again, the Lord never told them. It was the devil in their carnal mind, but God never told them. Or they're in places where God told them not to be. Because that's part of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is when God guides you and you submit. The sovereignty of God does not mean God saves one and not others. God heals some and doesn't heal and gives an illness to the other. That's not sovereignty. Sovereignty doesn't apply there. It's where did God tell you independently of what? Doesn't matter of, oh, well, God told me that I'm in this church, but the brothers that go there, I don't like them. Well, it's irrelevant. But what does it matter? If God told you, you stay there. You mature there. But if you have problems with this one or the other one, fix it. We saw it here in Colossians. Supporting one another. How many Christians do you truly think will do that? Very few, brothers and sisters. This whole planet Earth. Very few Christians. Truly. Will make an effort. Will truly make an effort in renewing their mind. This, it has something to do with us. If we do not put the time and the effort, God is very limited. We're seeing here the will of God. Now, go to Matthew 6. Why the word has to be explained. Matthew 6:33. So seek first. So who is going to seek? Us. Of course us. We'll seek. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, way of working of the kingdom. And all these things shall be added to you. Remember, you seek. Remember how in Colossians 3:2, because we already saw it. Colossians 3:2. But again, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. In verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, again, seek those things which are above, or seek the kingdom of God. Who? You. You seek. You seek to remind you, to renew your mind with the word. You take advantage of where you are. That's all that will mature you. And this is a process for life. Never fall in the deceit of the devil of, oh, I don't need any more. I know it all. I've learned it all. That's not true. It's true that after years we exercising our mind and making an effort in Christ, of course, so we'll reach a point in which we will reach a level of maturity, all of us. But that doesn't mean that we don't need any more. And if not, look at when something happens in your life. It's not a criticism. This is a way of evaluating. Evaluate. How do you react? How do we react when something happens? Anger, wrath, screaming, crying, desperation, anxiety attacks. This is not a criticism. I'm just saying we need to evaluate. And if we react contrary to what the word says, it's because there's not enough maturity. Always remember this when you're going to take a decision. Did God truly tell you, or did your flesh tell you? Being offended? God told you. You say, no, I can assure, the Holy Spirit told me. Hallelujah. Well, that's what this is talking about. Because you're sin conscious, you're the condemnation. Yeah, you have to see this as a correction. All the time with the Word of God. And meditate and say, well, what decisions have I taken lately that I've caused them? And the devil has taken advantage of them. And here's the solution. Because repenting is not only saying, oh, well, I repent. Remember, repentance, again. Remember the word repent? It means changing your way of thinking or changing your course. And the only way you change your course, you change now where you're going, is because you've changed your way of thinking. And you have to be brutally honest. And again, this also helps in the times of prayer. The Spirit of God will guide you and say, you have to do this change or do this change. And due to the love of God, it's true. It's true. That you could say, well, brother, I sometimes feel like this. Yeah. Well, I feel this way. I feel terrible. I struggle with this. Yeah, exactly. Why do you think Paul said, fight the good fight of faith? Another verse for you. That has to do, again, the good fight of faith, where? Here, in your soul, in your mind. That's what that means when Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Out of that relationship with God, out of that being born again, change your way of thinking. Change your way of thinking. If you change your way of thinking, I'll start closing with this. If you change your way of thinking, you will change your way of believing. If you change your way of believing, you will change your way of speaking. If you change your way of speaking, you will change your way of acting. One more time. Change your way of thinking. If you change your way of thinking, you will change your way of believing. Change your way of believing, you will change your way of acting, of speaking. That's it. And if you change your way of speaking, you will change your way of acting. Automatic. You don't even have to struggle. We understand in the natural that, oh, change the TV, the channel, and I don't know up to where you understand, but normally, oh, grab the remote and you just hit the button. And you have no issue to receive that. So why do you have an issue to receive this? If you change your way of thinking, how? With the Word of God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. Well, we have many projects, so it's for you to see where your participation is in this. You have to pray. Well, a while ago, I told you about a book. So our editorials tell us that you have to send us the whole book, and then they start reading and seeing. You have to send them everything edited, and then those take months. And then from there, they'll tell you, yes, we're going to publish it. Well, for them to start publishing it, we need $4,000. That's a good project. Then the next project is in the radio of Chihuahua, which is one part is in the outskirts. But the city itself, we have an opportunity to broadcast our live teachings here as today. Of course, we didn't do it today, but we can do it certain service days, like Tuesdays and Thursdays, where it's live in the whole radio in the whole city and everywhere that we're going to reach. That's a good project. Glory to God. So, let's see what our participation is in these future projects. And see, well, glory to God, pray. Don't fall into pressure. That's the word that I'm looking for. Just see what your participation is. And then when you sow, believe that you receive a harvest from it. Okay? Now, I'm going to finish off with this, and I want you to help me. With, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 in the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 9:6 in the Amplified. All right, now notice this. Look at how beautiful this is. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And be blessed. So those blessings will come to those who receive them. So stand on your feet. So in other words, yeah, there's so much to speak, so much to renew our minds, so much to explain things. I'm surprised. I remember that my pastor, who is in heaven, he told me, and he said a few times, he told me, and he's also said in the church, he said, oh, many believe that they're blessed, but how many of you understand being in debt? Well, we were in debt and not even blessed for misunderstanding things on prosperity. It's surprising. God is not angry even if you have things. The issue is when we have so many things that we're in debt and then we can't be a blessing in what is true. Glory to God. I spoke with someone and I know this person from years ago and they're a Christian. He just told me, I told my sister, talking about his sister, sibling. She struggles with money. But yeah, she iPhones for all their children. All of her children and iPhones for this and new devices and a new television and this and that. And then they're struggling. Exactly. God is not upset that you have things. But we're creating a mentality in these new generations, a materialistic mentality. One thing is blessing through God and he wants us to have things, and nothing is to be a materialist like the world. And that's not biblical. Being materialistic is not biblical. That's actually from the devil. Father, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in us. Holy Father, thank you one more. Help us to understand more and more and more. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you help us. How many distractions are in the minds of the people? And some don't even realize it. My God, help them so that they realize it. Help them. Nubia, how did our pastor say last time on Sunday? Now our pastor who is in the state of Ohio, he said, the problem with the people that are deceived is that they don't know that they're deceived. Yeah. So all of us have the Spirit of God and we can say, Father, help me. I don't want to be deceived and think that I am not. Thank you. We give you thanks and honor. Holy Father, you bring the conviction to every believer. Everything that was spoken and in the area of giving. We give you the glory for it. Thank you for all those who will participate tonight in giving and receiving. Thank you. I also am in agreement. We are thankful that we are so thankful with you. We love you. And we also call the blessings. We call the blessings, because when a harvest comes, we can give more. We thank you for those who are being saved through Word of Faith Ministries. We don't claim to be the only ones. We're not saying that. All we say is that we are thankful for the privilege for those who are being saved through the teachings, through our study series, through television, through radio and the internet, and through these printed forms. What is the being born again? I speak on this project, that their hearts may be touched to be born again. When this book, which is being worked on, this material will soon be in a book, it can be taken to different places. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And did you know that we're going to be doing it in this format? What is it, being born again? But we're also going to do it in a digital form in our webpage. So someone can read it digitally, but there are others who, as we said, that they don't understand technology or they still like to read a good book. Hallelujah. So as that one person said, there's a bit of everything for everyone. Well, thank you. That's it. I want to go to sleep now. Amen? Yeah. I want to go sleep. I want to go sleep. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Amen. Walk in what is finished.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.